Checking my emails.
Hey, is there an email that says, Hail Hydra?
No. It says, David Hasselhoff is here for you.
Now it's garbage.
Another movie night.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night, and I'm Scott.
I'm Joe.
And Joe, guess what we're doing today?
Talking all sorts of trash.
Talking trash. This is our show to review, spoil, debate, crap on, and give second chances to the hated, the lowest rated, the much debated, and often forgotten flicks on the internet. All while asking the question, is this the worst movie ever made? And if not, what is? Because here on the show, we truly believe you can't review a film unless you know what the worst is. And in honor of National Superhero Day on April 28th, we are doing a month of low-rated comic book films. And today, we are talking about a movie with the tagline, The Last Superhero. We are talking about Nick Fury, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Now, I don't want to spoil any of these facts. Instead, we are going to play a game. Joe, how many of these things can you guess right?
Seatbelts fastened. Tray tables in an upright position. Here we go.
You got seven questions here.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to be a dummy here, but go ahead. That's fine. I don't mind looking stupid.
Okay, first one. Mm-hmm. What was this? Was this AI? A video game cutscene?
Are you giving me multiple choice?
You can tell me. TV show, TV movie, feature film, cosplay, fan edit, independently funded fan film, or a Funny or Die sketch?
Well, I love all those choices, but I'm going to go ahead and say that this is a TV show that was edited into a movie. Because I feel like this, they filmed a whole bunch of TV show, maybe episodes, and then it didn't get picked up. And they're just like, okay, well, let's get this out there anyway and just edit it together.
You're semi-right. Okay, this was actually a TV movie event.
Okay,
well, this was a pilot, a backdoor pilot for a whole TV show.
I get it, because I did not feel one moment that I was watching a movie. Not one moment that I was watching a real movie at all. I did not feel that.
Okay. So then here's my question to you. What year did this come out?
Okay. I'm going by, well, Lisa Rinna has always had that same hairdo, so I can't really go by her. But, I mean, there's really no indication other than how it's filmed and the special effects, if you want to call it that, that this is going to be 1992.
Okay. 1998.
Oh my god damn.
What TV channel did this air on?
Well, we watched it and there's like a bottom right hand thing that said Encore Action, but that's not, I can't believe it, that's accurate.
I don't even know what that is, but
Encore,
go ahead.
Encore used to be a, like a HBO. Yes. I don't know if it's still around.
Exactly.
Anyway, I'm gonna say that this aired since, well, what did Knight Rider air? Maybe ABC?
Yeah, but when did Knight Rider even air?
Oh,
the 80s, am I correct?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm going to say ABC.
Fox.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so how long do you think a Nick Fury TV show movie was in the works?
I'm going to say they tried to get this done. I'm going to go out and say about 10 years.
Okay, very close. Talks started in 1986.
Okay.
Fox got the rights in 95 for a 96 release, and it didn't occur. So, you know, it came out a couple years later.
Okay. I was close.
Number five. When did this finally hit home video?
Home video. I don't think it ever did.
It did.
I mean, it had to be, what, on VHS, obviously, so...
2000s?
Oh, 2000s?
Well, I mean, just it was 98, which is released on TV.
Oh, yeah, I guess you're right. So we're talking... Yeah. I'll say 2010.
Okay, well, you're close. 2008.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. It didn't appear again for another 10
years. I wonder why.
Yeah. How much did this cost?
All right, well, he was probably expensive back then.
You think so?
What
was he doing at this time? Do you remember?
I don't know. I think he was on Baywatch.
I think so, too. And there was that Baywatch spinoff show. Do you remember that?
Where Baywatch Nights?
Yes, Baywatch Nights, yeah. Where they investigated, like, supernatural occurrences. That's a thing that happened. I don't know if a lot of people know about that.
Well, he's...
He also had his music career around this time, right?
Would you call it a music career? Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and say that this probably cost about $6 million.
You're nailing it. How did you... Did you research...
No, I don't. I didn't look at anything.
You've nailed every question almost.
Seriously, what is the answer?
$6 million.
Are you kidding me?
Yes. Six.
Shut up. Million. I nailed it on the nose?
Yes.
Get out.
Do you feel any of the million?
Oh my God.
Do you feel any of it in this movie?
They didn't spend money on nothing.
I don't even know where it went, but all right.
I mean, to the one explosion and the whole entire thing?
Yeah, there was one.
Wait a minute.
I feel it, too.
Something's not right. It's all been too easy. Let's go.
Okay, so here's the seventh and the last question, Joe.
Okay.
And this is a little bit of a bigger question here. It says, my question is to you, what has the writer, director, producer, David S. Goyer, worked on in other forms of superhero live action? He did this. He wrote this movie.
David S. Goyer. Okay. In superhero?
Yeah. In live action superhero form. What else has he worked on?
Blade?
You're right. You're doing great. Usually you like completely just come up with crazy stuff.
I just remember... Yeah,
he wrote Blade 1, 2, 3, and directed Blade 3.
Yeah, I remember that.
He also wrote Crow 2.
Okay, well, Alex Proyas directed the first Crow, so I know
he wrote these movies. Batman Begins, Batman Gotham Knights, Batman the Dark Knight, Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance, The Dark Knight Rises, Man of Steel, the Constantine TV show, the Blade TV show, Batman versus Superman, Krypton the TV show, and the Sandman TV show.
Holy hell, then what happened here? What happened here? Did he get like diarrhea of the brain or what happened?
He actually wrote this in the late 80s and he just wrote like a thing. He did never expect that this was going to be made. And then when it really was... He was shocked about everything that happened behind the scenes. He was completely shocked that David Hasselhoff was hired.
Okay, I will tell you that I have never seen such god-awful casting. I mean, this situation of him being cast as Nick Fury is probably one of the worst things I have ever seen in my whole life. I can't even get my head around this. What about David Hasselhoff screamed Nick Fury? I don't understand. He doesn't, nothing about him. Like, he's like a mimbo.
You're like a damn bratwurst. Either get me out of here or get me some mustard.
I don't understand this.
Yeah, and they hired him because they said, we need big name recognition.
But there was tons of big name recognition back then.
I wouldn't say yes, I agree with you. So yeah, we are talking about Nick Fury, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the TV movie event, from 98. It has a 3.8 out of 10 from 3,330 reviewers. That's
oh my God.
So many more than I thought would ever watch this movie.
You're telling me that there are other people besides the two of us that have seen this movie.
Yes.
That can't be right.
Now, I guess that was my other question. I thought I wrote this down, but did you know this existed?
No. When I sat down, we sat down to eat dinner, and it popped up on the screen, and I'm like, oh, Lord, who's playing Nick Fury? Who's playing? And then it said David Hasselhoff. I'm like, no, no. I didn't know this existed at all. I mean, I was completely blindsided by this.
I actually thought that this was one of those movies that completely disappeared from the public. You know, like you couldn't find this in it. It was almost one of those things that I really didn't believe existed. And then one day on YouTube, I found this for free. And I was shocked when I came upon it. And I said, well, we're definitely watching this.
This is crazy to me because I still can't get my head around. I don't feel like I watched a movie just now.
I don't feel like, without a doubt, this doesn't feel like a movie. It doesn't feel like a TV show.
No.
It feels like it could be any of those things I wrote down as a joke.
Well, yeah. I mean, also because of the weird cuts. Like, they were going to commercial.
Yes, there was commercial breaks. So you could tell it was a TV movie.
It just, and the way it was filmed, it didn't sit right. It just didn't, it didn't even sit right for a TV show, to be honest with you.
Yes. If you told me this was actually a Funnier Die skit.
I would believe it.
I would, honestly, that's why I wrote it down, because I'm like, that could be true.
100%.
They could have made fake commercials between this. I've seen some movies that they have made some long stuff.
Yeah.
You know, they made that Rush Hour movie.
Actually came up with all those multiple choice. I thought you were going to ask me what does SHIELD stand for, and I was like, oh
that's funny. Well, that's,
I think I kind of know it now.
Do you? You brought it up, not me.
I think I do. Wait, hold on. Strategic, Homeland, Inception, Environmental.
I know that's not right. But I like that you keep trying.
I never can. I think it's the first three I get, right? Don't I get the first three?
I don't think so. Now you got me wanting to look.
Strategic, Homeland, Inception. What the fuck is that E stand for? Ugh, I don't know.
It originally stood for Supreme Headquarters International Espionage and a Law Enforcement Division. It was changed in 1991 to Strategic Hazard Intervention Espionage Logistics and Directorate.
What? What word are you saying with the L? Logistics?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Logistics. I said logistics.
I think you put an N in there.
Logistics.
I don't know.
No, I did not. So and it says that in the live action TV series, it stands for Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement and Logistics Division.
Oh, I said Inception.
Yeah.
But I did get Strategic Homeland, so I got the SH.
Yeah, so that's even sketchy. Even they don't follow their own thing.
What was the E again?
Espionage. Oh, enforcement in the TV shows and the movie.
Enforcement. What's the L?
Logistics.
Logistics.
Division.
Division.
Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement and Logistics Division.
Jesus Christ. All right.
Welcome to SHIELD, the Supreme Headquarters International Espionage Law Enforcement Division.
It makes SHIELD sound like bad guys. A little bit. Like they're involved in espionage, except I know they're trying to
prevent espionage. Well, it kind of sounds like... MI6 or Interpol or, you know, like making sure. I don't know. Well, anyways, we watched a movie.
This is not a movie. This is something.
This was crazy.
I'm trying to figure out, can we talk about these actors, please? Because this is some of the worst acting I have ever seen.
So we can definitely talk about this because I knew you were going to bring this up. And what I love is during this movie, you brought something up in specific, and I had it already written down. But the worst actress in this movie, by far.
Von Strucker.
Is Andrea, right? Is
it Andrea Von Strucker.
Von Strucker.
Oh, my God.
A.K.A. Viper. She is played by Sandra Hess. And Joe,
fucking terrible.
What did you say during this?
I said...
She's worse than
I said, no, hold on. I said She's worse than the actress playing Sindel in Annihilation. That's in what
Mortal
I said.
In Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
In Mortal Kombat Annihilation. And I didn't think we can get worse
than
that.
Guess what?
Don't tell me that's her.
No, but it's Sonya from that movie.
No.
That's who replaced.
I told you, she's an American actress playing someone with an accent.
Yeah.
You could tell. She's an American actress. She was trying so hard.
Oh, it's bad.
I have never seen such atrocious. That acting was 5 times worse than Sindel.
Look at you. My father's trusted lieutenants. I am disgusted.
How dare you?
Silence! I see the remnants of what was once the world's greatest terrorist organization squabbling like animals for table scraps. For too long, Hydra has been splintered and weak, divided by our enemies and reduced to warring factions. Tonight, that changes. Very soon, Hydra will be in possession of the most dangerous weapon ever created. The dream of a new order my father envisioned is within our grasp.
5 times worse. I didn't think we could get worse, but we got worse.
It's awful. But then again, everybody is pretty bad in this. I will say that the two actors that are working for S.H.I.E.L.D. with him aren't the worst. They're doing what they have to do, but it's not anything special. So it's not even trying. But then there's like the guy who is the pencil pusher who pushes him throughout the movie. He's awful.
I mean, they cannot get the lines out. But she's dreadful. I mean, next level. I'm sorry to be mean, but Jesus. I don't know what else she's done aside from this, but Jesus.
Yeah. Let's talk about...
I mean, besides Annihilation.
Let's try to talk about this movie a little bit, because it's going to be tough, because nothing really happens.
Nothing happens.
Extremely dull. So, okay.
This is a sitcom, right? That was just pushed together. That's all we got here. Because this is a TV show that was pushed together.
No, it's actually a filmed movie. They made this to put out to open a TV show. So this is an episode put together because there is no break.
No.
You know, an episode would have to end with something. There is no break.
Well, you could tell when they jump from scene to scene, it seems like a TV show.
They have at least 4 commercial breaks or spots. My favorite one of those commercial breaks is when it comes back from that black real quick and he just jump kicks someone. And I it looks so funny.
This has to be seen to be believed.
Does honestly. This movie start with the bad guys or does it start instantly with Nick Fury in a mine?
No, it does not start with Nick Fury in a mine. It starts with the bad guys. So there's someone in a tank.
Oh, you're right. No, you see the person in the tank, mm-hmm. and there's a guy watching them very suspiciously.
Yeah, like something's going to go on.
Yeah, they're all dressed like in that blue, basically like Resident Evil cops with mm-hmm. that blue outfit that looks like Green Beret.
Yeah,
like
they work for Umbrella. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I don't even know who wears that outfit. I don't know what military wears that, but... Those guys are staring at it, and they're filming it. These close-up shots of his face, but at angles, it is so wildly directed that right out of the gate in this film, you think that this got to be fake. This feels fake because they're just shooting this guy, and then when another guy walks up behind him, he's like, I guess he points out that the guy that's frozen in this tank, it looks like a corpse. He says it's Baron Von Strucker, who is in the comic books is known as Captain America's like bad guy.
Yeah, he's the Red Skull. Isn't he like a Nazi era, right?
He's a Hydra guy, yeah.
Okay, but yeah, so we know that this guy's a frozen popsicle there in this. I thought he was actually he was in some kind of incubator.
It does like they were seem making, like that.
They were like creating something.
But he also looks rotten.
He does.
Yeah, in that scene, he looks rotten, and later on, he doesn't.
It's weird,
but my favorite thing about this, though, is he's looking at this other guy walks up right behind him, and I guess he puts a gun under his armpit at the guy, and the guy says, he makes fun of the dead guy and think, and by the way, this guy's speaking completely, like he has no accent. And then he, all of a sudden, when he says, oh, look at that guy, that's Baron von Strucker.
I know.
I'm like,
von Strucker.
Baron von Strucker.
Von Strucker.
And he's like, what does he say? He says, to do and...
it's not to reason why, not but not to do or die.
And he gets shot right on the die.
Hell of a way to earn our keep, isn't it, Vaughn? Babysitting a corpse? Baron Wolfgang von Strucker, last of the great global boogeymen. Ours not to reason why, ours but to do and die.
If that were my last words, I would be so upset with my life.
I mean, so he gets shot, this guy. But I don't understand why.
Yeah, and then it's like, this guy has infiltrated S.H.I.E.L.D., I guess. They're this underground bunker, and he's allowing for Hydra to come in and take over and get this body. So what we see next is that there's one guy who's randomly in this, like, it looks like an abandoned mine shaft type thing, because it's just all shot in the dark. And this one guy randomly gets out, and he's, you see a whole bunch of foot soldiers all covered up with like masks and gas masks. This one guy randomly gets, steps out into the hall and goes rock and roll for no reason.
Let us rock!
Right, for no reason, and starts shooting, and just gets riddled with bullets because he's just standing in the middle.
Yeah, I just don't understand.
And he's announced himself.
It's so bizarre. I don't understand. But then
when he's laying there dying, though.
Yeah, he's laying there dying. Then we see Von Strucker, the daughter, right, and she's, I guess, talking to him, but he has a video comm on his,
Through his outfit eyes or whatever. Or something. I have no idea.
So she sends a message like, you know, we're gonna take over the world or something.
But it's even funnier than that, because I think his last words are, he says like, Nick, get her. Now, first off, that's odd, seeing as what happens next here.
Yeah, who is he talking
to? He's talking to Fury, but there is no way in hell he would ever know that.
Fury doesn't work for S.H.I.E.L.D. at this point. Fury is, we cut to Nick Fury, and he is literally in a mine shaft, like, I guess, trying to break down a wall?
Can we talk about this? He's randomly hitting a wall, I guess, to show that he's, like, his muscles? I don't know what it is.
I mean, he doesn't have any real muscles. He's just a big...
He's a big, tall dude.
But, like, I don't know what the reasoning is. Like, they don't tell us what he's doing in there.
He's just mining.
And
you know what the best thing to do when you're mining is? Smoke a cigar.
Yeah, you know, because there could be like some kind of noxious gas down there. But you know what? Who cares?
He's definitely going to have the black lung pop. I mean, definitely. Yeah. I love it. He's in a mine. And he's, I guess this is where he lives, in a mine.
Okay, that's just not possible. There's no ventilation, first of all.
And he's smoking.
But then you see that agents from S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of like come down from helicopters. And they're like, Fury, we need you.
Oh, that's only after he kicks this one guy's ass for like a couple minutes.
It's so stupid. This one poor guy just wanted to talk to him from S.H.I.E.L.D. And he just like bursts in and starts kicking his ass for no reason. Like, he doesn't even know who he is. He's just, angry.
This is the actor, by the way, Neil Roberts. He's playing Pierce in this movie. Famously, Robert Redford played this character in Winter Soldier.
Okay. Well, I could tell you that this guy here sucks.
Yeah, just go from this guy to Robert Redford.
Oh my God. Okay, this guy. Can we talk about him? First of all, he is the biggest ballless wonder I have ever seen. He, number one, cannot fight at all.
Just a stereotype. Like, just a complete cliche of these kind of movies.
You would just think that because, you know, in the new movies, when you see S.H.I.E.L.D. and agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they can fight. They can kick ass. They can do all sorts of stuff. Like, they're badasses. This guy.
S.H.I.E.L.D. is supposed to be the best of the best.
Yeah. Like, well-trained assassins, kind of. This guy here couldn't even tie his shoe. I mean, he's just a hot mess, this guy.
That's the cliche, right? There's always that one guy who's wet behind the ears that can't do anything and has to have, like, so the whole movie is him, like, I'm train me, you know, am I good enough? Oh, I'm not good enough. That character.
Well, see, here's the thing. When you should have already gone through all of that before you get to S.H.I.E.L.D.
But
like,
course,
who let him in?
Of course, though, he says this multiple times. I was the first in my class on everything.
Okay, no, you suck.
Yeah, it was like,
this character sucks.
He never had any kind of military training before he got to S.H.I.E.L.D.
No.
He just graduated out of some kind of high school and got big marks.
You know who he reminds me of? You know Sweet Chuck from the Police Academy movies? You know, that's a low one.
That's
low. I mean, Sweet Chuck. I think Sweet Chuck's actually tougher than this motherfucker. That's what I think. That's how bad this
Sweet
guy
Chuck
is.
Sweet Chuck is tougher than this guy.
Yeah. Sweet Chuck is better. A better officer than that guy. That guy sucks. Every single person in this movie sucks.
I just think this guy is like, the only problem with this guy is he's very British. And so he's very polite and very like, he gets like slapped around because of that. You know what I mean?
Now's not the time to be polite, okay?
That's what I'm saying. By the way, I guess we should point this out real quick is that this is our introduction to Nick Fury, David Hasselhoff's version of Nick Fury, which is incredibly jarring because it's David Hasselhoff. I think he thinks this is a parody. I think that he's playing this as a joke.
He is, though.
I don't think he's taking this seriously at all, and he has the worst dialogue.
I'm pleased to inform you that your intelligent priority code has been reactivated. They've asked you to resume your post. We're S.H.I.E.L.D.'s public director, effective immediately.
Well, unfortunately, Pierce, you're going to have to tell S.H.I.E.L.D. to shovel up their collective enzymes. They put me out to pasture 5 years ago. Or didn't they brief you on that particular piece of intel?
Sir, these orders come from the president himself.
President?
Yes, sir.
Answer's the same. Now, why don't you take your blow dryer and get the hell out of my afternoon sun?
I've never seen somebody with such bad dialogue in my life.
It's terrible. It's like, you know, he's playing David Hasselhoff, but if somebody just kind of like, you know, took his hot dog out of his hand and threw it on the ground, you know, like he's kind of just like a little annoyed. Honestly, like, why are you so, you got a chip on your shoulder. I get it. But like, he's not playing it right. He's not playing it right. He's playing it like a cartoon.
Yeah, you know what I see? I see a guy who's playing that drunk character in every horror movie where he's just like the homeless guy, the weird guy that's got stuff to say.
Yeah.
He's playing it like that where I feel like every moment and by the way, again, they do quick zip shots up to his face all the time. They zoom up to his face and they do it at a Dutch angle again, where mm-hmm. you know, so it's tilted and he's always looking like with a cigar in his mouth and the eye patch.
Like, I get it, you're supposed to be like a seasoned, like, you know, soldier, but nothing about him screams soldier. Even when they put him in that leather outfit, he looks like he's going to go on stage and sing a song.
Yeah, we didn't even get to that yet. We're not even
saying, yeah. Like, this is the worst casting I have ever seen. It's like, he doesn't even have any good, like, saucy clips. You know, it's, he just, no zing, no zang, you know? It's just like, he's got nothing.
If I may say so, Colonel, working alongside a legend such as yourself really promises to be quite a thrill.
How long you been with the outfit?
Actually, this is my first field assignment.
Terrific. At least I know they sent the best.
Well, I did graduate top of my class at the S.H.I.E.L.D. Kirby Academy. I'm an accredited instructor of advanced repelling and single-line physical ascent. I also have an alpha class rating and explosive use and disposal.
How's your needle point?
I beg your pardon, sir?
S.H.I.E.L.D.-based hunting party.
How's your needle point?
Hunting party. Show you want to approach at 183. Acknowledge.
No, relax, kid. I'm just blowing smoke up your hoo-ha.
One of those weird fun facts that I don't know if it's true or not, because you got to take it with a grain of salt when it's on the internet, is that he wouldn't wear the eye patch and was trying to talk him out of it.
Okay.
And then he was like, oh, I think I should do without the eye patch. But then they said there was pink eye on the set. And he was like, oh, shit, maybe I should wear the eye patch. I don't know if that's true, but I can see that being extremely real, because in this entire movie, it's very hard to unsee that he has no idea how to put an eye patch on.
Okay, yes. Well, first of all, it's tight as hell and his head's being squeezed.
Squeezed.
You could see his forehead is like, you know, like when you have like a sausage and you squeeze it and it starts coming out of its casing. That's what his head
looks like. Wrapping a rubber band around your hand.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
just
yeah.
Like you, it's smushing it. And I would say that he's got the one band from the eye patch on his other eyebrow.
Yeah.
It's like squeezing it. You're supposed to be high up on your head
yeah.
at an angle. He's got it across his face. And multiple times, you can see that it's bothering him.
Yeah, you can see because his eye is like scrunched.
Yeah, it's constantly, you can see that it's been moved a lot.
Yeah. I mean, if he didn't have the eye patch, though, he would just be David Hasselhoff.
Well, there's a moment in this movie.
Did I say David Hasselhoff?
I think he did, but I'm going to go with
it. I'm going to say Hoff. Let's just say Hoff.
The Hoff.
Yeah.
There's a moment in this movie where they take his eye patch off. And he does not know how to keep one eye closed with one eye open. So he's squinting with both eyes. And they're like, you see, the squint means he has no eye.
He just can't do it.
He can't do it.
Like, he is completely, everything about him trying to be this character is so off. I mean, he can't wear the clothes, you know, like he don't look like badass Sam Jackson, you know, when he wears the clothes.
No,
he just can't wear the clothes. It's like the only outfit that he's ever looked decent in with those tight ass pants and that leather jacket when he was Michael
yeah.
and Knight Rider. But otherwise, this is just off-putting. This is really off-putting.
Yeah. It's...
They recruit him to go after Von Strucker.
Baron Wolfgang Von Strucker.
The only way, because he says, no, I'm not coming. I was kicked out. And they're even telling him the president is asking for him to take back over S.H.I.E.L.D., which also is questionable. But
I don't get that impression to take over S.H.I.E.L.D. again. Like, nobody wants him there.
I don't understand that. They want him to be, like, the director of S.H.I.E.L.D. again. And he's like, I don't work for them, and I'm not coming back until one of their really badly done hover jets comes in, and we get another character, and I guess this is the old flame, right? So you were talking about her already. Lisa Rinna is playing...
Lisa Rinna.
Oh, uh-huh. Lisa Rinna. Uh-huh. She is playing... What's her name, Joe?
Okay. She has... she's got like eight names.
Yes.
I'm going to say that one of her names is Vanessa...
No.
Vicky?
Contessa Valentina Val.
Oh, Val.
Di Allegro Fontina?
Okay, that's enough.
Contessa Valentino Di Allegro Fontaine. Quite a mouthful when you try and wrap your tongue around it.
We can't go on.
Yeah, okay. So where do you know her from?
She was a soap opera actress.
Yeah, she was on Days of Our
Lives. She married Harry Hamlin.
Can I say this, and I know I don't want to be mean, but she seems like a Paula Abdul cosplayer or I can't see her without thinking she looks like a mix between two singers.
Okay, I get it. Yeah, and she
like
also...
Paula Abdul and Michael Jackson in the later years.
What?
It's like a weird mashup for me.
Okay, Michael Jackson, I don't understand
that. She has that Janet Jackson look in this movie.
I'm getting from her, I do agree with the Paula Abdul, but I think Paula Abdul was spliced with Joan Jett. Because if you look at her, she has those kind of features, but...
She's not that she has a Janet Jackson's face. It's the hair and the clothes from, like, her music video.
Oh, okay.
But Paula Abdul doing that, I don't even know if I'm... Yeah, that's how I can't unsee it, the whole movie, because they have... Oh, and God, this is another cliche, too. If you have a female agent and everybody's wearing, like, jumpsuits from, like, a helicopter, make sure she has her breasts exposed at least a little bit.
A little. You need a little bit of
all
cleave.
All unbuttoned and zippered down.
Yeah.
Only on the women.
She's a hot agent. You need to show some cleave.
And of course, that's the one that the Hoff is like, oh, it's my ex-girlfriend.
Of course, they have history.
Yeah.
But he's recruited to take over... And then they're supposed to go after Von Strucker.
Baron Wolfgang Von Strucker.
Who stole her father. Her father's a popsicle in a cryostasis.
And killed that agent. And when he gets back to, because he says, I'm coming now. Now that this girl showed up. He went to get back on the helicarrier. From everybody knows from the movies, the helicarrier. When they get on that, they have to watch a video and they all go, you kind of get introduced to each character, by the way. And it's done in the worst TV show way you can imagine, where they're just walking down a straight hallway and people just come into the shot.
Yeah.
For no reason.
There's literally no rhyme or reason to it. Yeah. I mean, we don't even give a rat's ass about any of these S.H.I.E.L.D. people because it's irrelevant. It's completely irrelevant. Well, but one looks like Michael McKean.
You kept saying that. Yeah, he...
Who is that guy?
So he is playing the character of Dum Dum Dugan, but he's not being called Dum Dum in this, which I can understand. He's Timothy Dugan in this. That's Gary Chalk. He was the coach on both Disturbing Behavior and It. He was the sheriff in Freddy vs. Jason.
Oh.
Yeah, we've seen him in a lot, but he's like a bit actor mostly.
I had a feeling he was in a horror movie.
When I looked at his credits, he had like 400 credits. I couldn't believe it.
What?
Yeah, he's a lot of things, but wow. I wrote those down because those are the ones that we're horror fans, so we know those best.
Yeah.
He is playing Timothy Dugan in this, and you know, in the comics, that's a famous like badass character. He is not badass in here. He's just a tie-wearing guy that walks around and does director stuff.
He's a doofus.
Yeah, I mean, he's not even a doofus. He's just very straight-laced. He's just a common dude. But then we also get a bizarre character who has telepathy.
Okay, this I don't understand.
She has like a mind-reading skill.
Okay, well, that was an implant. It was a memory, like a brain implant that she got. She's
Why
made
wouldn't everybody have
that.
One then?
I got nothing.
Like, I thought they were going to say that maybe she was a mutant of some sort or some kind of metahuman, but then they gave her an implant to make it even stronger. But she has to touch people, and through human contact, like Spock, she can read their thoughts. But it's not a great skill. It doesn't seem to work like it should.
No, not at all.
Yeah, she's almost useless.
Yeah, there's nothing that she doesn't really do. Actually, she does have one scene that's pretty important. But otherwise, she's just there in the background. I mean, he really has two bumbling people that are assigned to him to help him get this girl.
He meets that Pierce guy who is Pincer, which is like the dickhead bureaucrat who, for some reason, is running. He's like the senator or something that is running S.H.I.E.L.D.
Wait, you're talking about that Poindexter guy that can't deliver his lines?
Yeah.
He's the head of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
He's the boss. He comes in and tells them what to do, and he keeps telling S.H.I.E.L.D., like Fury. I keep seeing S.H.I.E.L.D. and Fury mixed up. But he keeps telling the Hoff, hey, you're a piece of crap and I hate you and you're going to do everything
that
I say.
Then why bring him in?
I don't understand. He's not in charge. And in fact, Fury still doesn't seem in charge of anything because he also has Dugan.
Right.
He seems in charge. I really don't understand what they brought him on board for.
It seemed like he's a puppet.
Yeah, he seems like a puppet and he seems like he has no real control. And you got this guy, this Pincer guy, he keeps saying things and yelling. And by the way, this actor is hilarious. There's a couple times where he doesn't know how to deliver his line, and then he just goes, I'll raise it. I'll make it like times five.
Yes. He yells out of nowhere. Like, he'll be talking at a normal octave, and then he'll be like, my pizza was frozen, so I thought it out.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And you know why this guy's here. He's only here so Hasselhoff can just punch him in the end. Like, he's that character. You know what's going to happen. You know that, you know, someone's going to hit this guy.
Oh, yeah, because he's a total douche.
He's a douche, and he's got, like, a band of guys that follow him around, but they don't do anything. They don't have lines.
You know, I thought they were, like, a band of scientists at first, but no, they're just, like, butt buddies.
I can see why you say that, because one guy's wearing a bow tie for no reason.
He is.
Yeah.
And I think one had, like, a lab coat. That's what I thought.
Yeah, and that's another character we meet. We meet a scientist friend. He shows up. And I don't think I wrote him down here, but a scientist guy shows up, and the scientist is like, of course, we're old friends. And he's like a mad scientist, and he is working on a gun that is triggered only by your fingerprints. And if anybody else uses it, it'll blow up on them. So it sucks for any of his friends that accidentally get his gun.
Right? Yeah. And it's also setting something up for later.
Yeah. Obviously. And then he's also making life model decoys, which is like a big thing in the comics and big thing in even the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show, which, by the way, if you haven't seen it, go watch it because it's far superior to almost anything that we're talking about on this show.
Oh my God, yeah.
Because it's such a good show, and it's very underseen for some reason. life model decoys, and it just so happens that this guy has created a life model decoy of Hasselhoff. Like, he didn't know he was even getting promoted or getting brought back, but he's like, I already got one for you.
Right, how? He didn't even know that they were going to be calling him in.
So, you know, what this thing is like a cyborg version of a person to stand in or pretend to be that person.
Right.
I guess these things come in pocket size.
That's our prototype LMD, life model decoy.
And now in the same scene, ADR dialogue from a completely different actor, you can hear it if you listen, to explain away a plot hole later on in the movie.
Reducible in size for easy transport.
We'll get to that later on in the movie when this thing actually means something, because it doesn't mean anything until the very end of the movie.
Oh my God, but, I know, I'm thinking the same thing.
Yeah, so it's a full robot. It's a full robot that they put like skin over, like a mask.
Yeah.
And it's annoying as hell. It repeats everything he says. So this is all the setup to the Q character, the James Bond Q character. Here's all the new gadgets I made you. And so he's doing this tour so he can get up to the base. The tour even consists of an elevator ride where I guess it's supposed to be a joke, where the elevator needs to read retinal scans.
He only has one eye.
But he's like, I have one eye. And then it's like false, and it starts breaking down, and it's like a complete piece of shit.
He shoots it,
and then by shooting the elevator, it works perfectly.
Yeah, but usually if you do something like that, wouldn't you think the elevator would break down? They'd be stuck in there.
It would be stuck in there, or it would drop.
But this is Nick Fury, and it's pretty much the only cool thing he does in the whole movie.
He does it multiple times where he shoots something or blows something up so it'll work.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't think that's how it works, like, but okay, I'll go with it.
It looked badass when you were doing it, so there you go. Points, I guess.
Did it, though?
He hasn't done anything badass in this whole entire movie. He's Nick Fury. He's supposed to be the best. He didn't do anything badass in this.
No, in fact, I would say that he's a complete loser. Yeah.
He's a clown.
What I love is on the tour, they go, all right, we got a meeting up in the station. We're going to get where we're going to head out, suit up. Right? So you think you're going to get a cool suit up scene?
Oh, come on.
No, they just show up in leather.
That's what I'm telling you. He looks like he was going on stage to sing a song. Like, you know, one of those, Top of the Pops, like... and now introducing the Hoff.
and it's not even him. It's the four agents, like the four main agents of this. SHIELD only has four agents that do anything.
Of course. Yeah,
there's a bunch of other people with ties, but then there are four guys who all two guys and two women who just dress up in leather.
Well, because, you know, and they think it looks cool.
That's it. I mean, it doesn't.
I will say this. Lisa Rinna's butt looked nice.
I mean, yeah, sure.
At least she was rocking those pants. Yeah. We had that going for us. But otherwise, everyone else just looked ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, they're showing.
And I think he was wearing thigh-high boots.
Yes, he is.
He is wearing thigh-high boots.
It's wild. Nothing looks good about any of this. No. It doesn't look tactical. There's nothing to it.
But they're not even like, okay, say they're thigh-high boots, like, you know, even if they're mid-calf boots, okay, that would still kind of like present like a badass looking like way, you know, to wear clothes. But his are like streetwalker boots.
Yes, I agree. I agree.
Like, what is going on here?
Yeah. And his pistol, with this gun, it looks like Han Solo's gun, too, by the way. It looks like a ripoff. Like, they went to the toy store and got a replica.
Yeah.
And it went, oh, this is in the movie.
For sure.
$6 million, Joe.
I can't believe I nailed that number. I would never imagine that.
So here's the plot. They show him a computer screen because the actors are all doing this thing where they're all standing in, they're all hitting their marks. If you watch this, it's really comical. A person will move behind a person will move closer. It's just the worst, most like set up shot by shot. Like, you know exactly how they're supposed to play it out, and they're all hitting the mark on the floor. And they tell him, look at the computer screen. We have the shot of the guy dying, the last things that he saw, which is this Von Strucker's daughter. And Hasselhoff doesn't even know that this guy had a daughter. And he says, that's the last job that I pulled. I took down Strucker. I destroyed Hydra. And that's it. And I got laid off. They kicked me out after that.
Yeah, and now that...
Or as he says, the Iron Curtain was hung up to dry.
Is that what he says?
Yeah, the Iron Curtain was hung up to dry.
You know, since I've blown my career now by supporting you, Colonel, maybe you'd satisfy my curiosity. Why did you leave S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I didn't. When the Iron Curtain was sent to the cleaners, I was suddenly out of style. Not diplomatic enough. It was time for me to move on.
Because they changed the rules?
For me, Kate, there never were any rules.
Oh, God, I can't. I mean, the one, he can't even say the terrible one-liners. They're just awful. Everything about him playing Nick Fury is just wrong.
So, yeah, I agree. The actress is doing... We didn't get to see this when the guy was dying. She only said half of this line because there's a whole bunch more where she's like, oh, Nick Fury, I'm coming for you. But she's doing a terrible accent.
Tell me, Werner. Do you think the deaths of 8 million Americans will be enough to get the world's attention?
Now, is this supposed to be like a German accent?
I don't know what it is.
Her father was a Nazi.
Well, I mean, Hydra, I guess you can say they're Nazis.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, yeah, that makes sense. Well,
I think we
obviously
only associate Red Skull working with the Nazis to say Hydra's a Nazi.
No, because her plan here would suggest that she is a Nazi. Think about it.
What is her... Okay, so we find out that their plan is to release some kind of virus called the Death's Head virus, which is another comic book reference.
Yeah, but she's going to release it all over Manhattan. That is genocide. She's a Nazi. So?
I guess that's true.
She's a Nazi.
They just want to wipe out everybody?
Yeah. She wants
that's
to.
It.
She, what she said was she wants to test her virus on a small island off New York, and that's Manhattan, and that would kill millions of people. But she says that's on the smaller scales. It's just a test. So she wants to kill all these people as a test of her weapon. And I was like, wow, okay, so this is just straight up she's a Nazi.
Okay, I mean, that's the most typical plot line
of course,
I guess you can come
so
up with.
Of course, it's so fucking generic. So, I guess the Hoff and his gang, they go after her. But she is disguised, which is, I have to talk to you about this. So when they find her at the museum of, where they find
her? They're supposed to meet up with another undercover agent for like a different country.
Right.
And they have a code word and she's shooting some people. And then she comes down the steps and they say these code words to each other. And Hoff has a stupid one-liner or something. It's so bad. And she comes down and we find that she's an agent and they have... She's supposed to bring them to another Hydra guy that they've had locked up in this jail, right? And that is Zola, right? Mm-hmm. Zola is this old man in a wheelchair, and apparently he's locked up, and he's created the Death Head virus, and so they think that he can stop it. Mm-hmm. So they have to go to this bunker, and they bring this woman. And now this woman, whoever this actress is also... pretty terrible.
What's this all about?
This is about getting the two of us alone in a room together. Is it true what women say about you?
Well, it depends on if you're talking to one of my ex-wives or my mother.
What's the matter, Colonel? Don't you find me attractive?
You said the safe house is compromised. Who's the spy?
Me. $20,000 bullets, boy. Do I have your attention?
Like, just bad. She's all kind of sleepwalking with her lines. It's very odd.
Yeah, she is. She's blonde, so she kind of looks a little bit like Von Strucker, a little bit.
Kind of. Not much, but a little bit.
But we find out that...
Well, they go into there, they investigate. The woman touches the Zola's brain, and all we get to see is a montage of, like, bombs and destruction from, like, old movies. Mm-hmm. And it's just so bad.
It's pretty cheesy.
And she can't get the information that she needs because Zola's mind is just so messed up.
Right.
And all she knows is, like, it's true. the death head virus is going to kill everybody. Like he says, there's no stopping it.
Right.
So the right then that agent says to Hoff, she's like, come in the other room with me. I need to talk to you secretly because I think Hydra's here working under, and you don't know they're undercover here. So they go into another room. Do you want to talk about that now?
Yes, this is what I want to talk about. Okay. So when he walks in, she's there, this undercover agent, but she's wearing like a sultry dress and she's sitting with like her, she's all done up. But I was like, wait, when did she have time to change? Okay, whatever.
Yeah.
But so he walks over to her and she's like, don't you find me attractive? And she's coming on to him and stuff. And
yeah,
I'm
is
like,
is it true
what the
women say about you? Yeah.
He goes, yeah, if you talk to my sisters and my ex-wife.
He's like, if you talk to my mother
and my mom and my ex-girlfriend. And my ex-girlfriends or whatever.
That's weird.
And I was like, okay, that's weird, first of all. But anyway, so she starts coming on to him. And then out of nowhere, she sprays her face with some sort of chemical that changes her back into Von Strucker. What the hell is happening?
She goes to him to kiss him, and she puts a device on his face that gives him 20,000 volts and knocks him down. She gets on top of him, and she kisses him, and then sprays her face with some kind of deodorant-looking stuff.
Yeah,
and
she her face comes back,
and she's that woman. And then her accent changes to her.
Oh my God. Okay. First of all, I said to you, there's that kind of technology in the world. There's that kind of technology. Are you kidding me right now?
Exactly.
Where you can spray your face with an aerosol can and have a different face? Like, what is this?
Yeah.
This is a joke. This is like ridiculous. So she kisses him and she's got poison on her lips. So what happens? He's poisoned. However,
Can we point this out? Because she gets away somehow. They're in a bunker. I don't know how she gets away, but she just vanishes.
Yeah, I don't know.
And then we're told through like a huge exposition dump that he was given the virus, and that I don't even remember him being said that he was given the death head virus. I remember them saying that he was given the deadliest poison known in nature.
Yeah.
Which is from a tree frog?
A tree frog.
To conclude, the poison has been synthesized to simulate the skin secretion of the dendrobite genera.
What's that?
Colombian tree frog. The most deadly toxin in all of nature. There is no serum.
Not even close to truth, right?
Right.
Because, first off, I think if I'm not mistaken, the dart frog is the one that's the dangerous one. And then also, I'm pretty sure there's like a blowfish that kills everybody, that you're not supposed to like go near the blowfish.
Oh, yeah, that's true, I think.
And there's like a mushroom.
Yeah.
And what about the stuff Walter White used? Ryzen?
Oh, Ryzen, yeah.
That stuff's supposed to be like super deadly. Like, yeah. I don't think this is the head scientist of S.H.I.E.L.D., and he's saying the deadliest poison known in nature is not even the correct animal.
Well,
I had a laugh about it because I'm like, I'm pretty sure there's deadlier viruses in nature than this virus.
Yeah, pretty sure. But he automatically undergoes all these tests and stuff because he's told he has 48 hours to live. He's going to die. This toxin is going to kill him.
This movie takes place in 48 hours.
And I will say that from here, it does not get any better at all.
When did it ever get better?
I mean, I'm hoping that maybe there's some stakes here. There's some stakes. He's gonna die.
I found it. I found the information. There's a quote in the movie. I found the quote. It says, Fury has been injected with the deadly Colombian tree frog poison. Brilliant. How long do I have before Kermit bites me the big one? Right?
Before Kermit bites me in the big one? Bites me in the big one? What are you saying?
I said, this is the quote in the movie that Nick Fury says after he found out that he was bitten by a Colombian tree frog poison. Injected with the Colombian
tree.
He says, brilliant. How long do I have before Kermit bites me the big one?
Oh my God.
What's that?
Colombian tree frog. the most deadly toxin in all of nature. There is no serum. I'm sorry, Nick.
Brilliant. How long do I have before Kermit bites me the big one?
About 48 hours from the initial point of exposure.
Okay, let that be just, a small inkling of what we just sat through. It's terrible. The one-liners are terrible. The dialogue's terrible. The acting is terrible.
Oh, and when she kisses him, she says, I found a whole quote list. I'm sorry. It says, Andrea Von Strucker, it says,
"Pleasant dreams, Fury. I told you revenge would be mine, and now Zola will be mine too."
Was that good enough?
I don't know who you're going for, but kind of sounded like a Muppet.
Well, do you want to try her voice?
No, I don't.
"Pleasant dreams, Fury."
Oh my God.
So bad.
Her acting so is bad. So bad.
Oh, I'm so mad that we didn't think about this, but when he's shown the computer screen of the daughter, they're like, not only does he have a daughter, he has a son. And then they zoom in the back shoulder of her back shoulder in that shot. And there's a guy who looks like he got trapped in front, like you know what, like the headlights?
A deer in the headlights.
A deer in the headlights. He's in shock. This dude, he looks like a surfer guy.
He does. So, you know who they reminded me of?
He's funny in this movie, too, that guy.
Daenerys and her brother in Game of Thrones.
Nice. But they both talk like that. They both talk with these terrible
accents. Yeah. Now, is he an American actor just trying to do an accent?
I don't.
You don't know anything about
these accents are not their accents.
They're terrible.
It's so bad. It's baffling.
Here's the thing. I have something to say. If there was any, maybe some hope that this could have been a TV show.
Could you imagine?
This would not relate to anyone. Like, adults or children at all. Neither one. No demographic at all. Like, I don't feel like I could relate to anything that's happening in this movie at all. It's just, who would this appeal to if they actually did get picked up as a show?
I was thinking that too. I guess people who like Hasselhoff.
I mean, come on. He is the worst in this. It's awful.
I agree. I don't know what they were thinking. Like, there is, and here's the craziest part. When you're thinking S.H.I.E.L.D. and you're thinking like a show like this where they're fighting like maybe supernatural odds, and you think that there's going to be like action scenes, fights, gunplay, something interesting to make that. No, nothing happens in this movie, like at all. And I would say that probably the only mass appeal would be the actress playing the villain for some reason sometimes wears a like villain dress.
But
it's still not good. I mean, she's got the Karen hair.
Everything that she has, it's like, it looks like I Dream of Jeannie. It's terrible. It's like only Barbara Eden could wear stuff like that.
Yeah, it doesn't work. It
just didn't look right. It was like those like 1990s like velvet corsets with like the sheer arms and all that stuff. It was just trash.
I'm just saying that is pretty much the only thing that might be intriguing to a person watching a show like this. Like if it's a guy watching a show like this, that's kind of cool.
I mean, there's two pretty girls. She's pretty. She's very pretty. She was just a bad actress. Lisa Rinna is pretty. But she didn't really do anything in this. She was just running around in her tight leather pants the whole time.
It's true. I mean, the fact that he's dying and he doesn't hit any symptoms rarely. Every time he gets a symptom, he's like, okay, I'm fine. Literally, that's how it happens in this movie.
Let me just lie down for 13 seconds. Oh, yeah. I'm good.
Because they go off on these missions, right? To go track them down after this. And by the way, the woman who the bad guy was actually pretending to be existed, and she was found with the disease, and they bring her in this, like, you know, incubation type tube. And once she looks at Hasselhoff, she just screams, "Nah!" And we laugh because I was like, oh, she read the script.
I mean, everybody in this movie hates Fury. There's only one person in this movie that doesn't hate him. It's like, okay, come on.
Yeah, the ex-girlfriend. So that's the plot line, is that they have this relationship that has gone soured. And I would say that they don't make these people seem like they have chemistry. They don't seem like they like each other. None of it connects. And in fact, when they have a, try to have a conversation about it, she's like, you push me away. And he goes, yeah, into someone else's bed. I'm like, oh my God. And she goes, like you, like I learned it from you. Like you do it all the time. And I'm like, why do you guys like each other? Like, what is it about each other that you like?
I mean, he's not charming. He's not. There's like nothing about him that screams, you know, yeah, I could see that these two would be together, you know? Like, there's just nothing. Nobody gets along. It's like, it's just weird. It's the weird whole thing is weird relationships. They didn't even really focus on that. So everybody just seemed like they didn't know each other, basically.
They keep going back to it. It's like a common thread that keeps getting talked about.
Well, little people like
always trying to get them like back together or quick whatever. Quick
little dialogue here and there, but like ultimately, there's no chemistry between anyone in this movie.
That's what I'm like going forward. If this was a show, why? And also, why would you want Fury? If this was going to become a show, why would you want Fury to be in a relationship? Because the whole point is to like get those. You know, you get your bonds and stuff. You don't have them with one woman.
Right.
Because that's like some of the appeal is the chemistry, the romantic sexual stuff.
Right.
It's like you usually want your hero to, you know, be that idiot that goes off and does all these like different, you know, cases with different characters and all that. You don't want him to be like, oh, that's my girlfriend.
Right. I mean, are they going to try, if this worked out, would they try to make him more like the greatest American hero? Like the TV show, The Greatest American Hero, so it would appeal to kids? Because you can't have it both ways.
I feel like they were going, oh, this is like Indiana Jones or Han Solo. Like, that's how he is. But they forgot, like, yeah, but Han Solo, like Harrison Ford and both those characters, has charm and wit.
Yeah.
And he has none of that.
No, he has nothing.
His one-liners are so dad. It's worse than dad jokes. They didn't even make me laugh once. I felt bad every time he said something.
It was embarrassing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the plot of this movie is they go off on their missions and they separate his what's her face? I don't remember my actress's name. She goes off on her alone herself alone to track down in New York, which I was trying to pay attention to this because there's no way they filmed in New York. They show shots of New York and they have some license plates, but I was like, no way. But they're tracking down apparently a bomb that the brother, Von Strucker, he has a bomb in a garbage truck. And by the way, the villains have weird goons that are for some reason corpse men.
Okay, can we talk about that?
They look like the Hush characters from Buffy.
They do. I mean, it's the coloring on their skin is like gray.
Yeah, they're like.
They look like mannequins, like, you know, like those store mannequins. That's what they look like.
They're in suits with black circle glasses, sunglasses.
Yeah.
And that there's a multiple of them. They don't ever get explained of who they are or what they are. They're just random goons.
That's why I feel like this is supposed to be a TV show and they were going to explain them had they gotten picked up.
You would think anything would be explained here. But, you know, she goes after that guy while... Hoff and the other two agents go on one of their planes or whatever the hell it is with terrible models or whatever the hell this is that they shot. And they have they get into an air battle and they get shot down, but they actually escape it before it blows up. And then they wash ashore to the headquarters of Hydra. It just worked out.
This is amazing because they're literally flying over who knows where, and they decide that, oh my God, if we don't bail, they're going to shoot us down. So they fucking bail, right?
Yeah.
So they parachute down to, you know.
We don't see parachutes.
We don't see parachutes, but we're assuming that they parachute because they have ejector seats. Okay, fine. So that's a thing. But they somehow, oh, that's lucky, land at a Hydra base. How?
Yeah.
How did you know that you were going to be apparently shot down right there and then, and you just planned to just go into this base? Like, that's just too convenient. It was so stupid.
What I love is they have all their gear ready to go and everything. Where were they going to land anyways? Like, what was their plan to get to the Hydra base? Like, it seems like this was the goal all along.
Yeah.
Well, they get to the Hydra base, and so their job is to sneak in and storm this place and take it all down while they're stopping the bomb over in New York.
Of course they get captured because they're dummies. So,
oh, it is so
bad. But you know what? He does have a bomb in his fake eye.
Well, they get captured. They actually get brought over to her, and she does a whole speech again. She's so bad.
She says,
check his eye patch. And he, that's when he, they flip his eye patch, and he has a lockpick system in his eye patch. A
digital lockpick.
And he's like, oh, I thought I left that in my other eye patch. Right? And so they lock him up. It's so stupid. They lock him up, but he pulls out his eyeball. And he had, in his head, he had a thing of dynamite in an eyeball, in his head forever.
His eyeball.
If anything would have happened in that plane crash, he could have killed everybody.
Kablooey. Yeah. So he has an armed explosive device in his head.
In his head.
And he pulls it out and slaps it on the door. It explodes and they escape.
Well, here's the best part. They blow up a guard outside the door, but nobody hears this explosion anywhere else.
No.
No one's freaking out. No. No one's going after him.
It's all fine.
They're just able to storm the castle.
Yep. And it's all fine.
At the same time, everybody thinks he's dead. Like, everybody thinks he's dead. Because they never contact them again until the very end of the movie. And they're like, oh, yeah, the guy that we thought is dead isn't dead. We didn't do anything to, like, nuke that island.
Right.
Like, we didn't do anything. We just went, let's see if it works out.
Yeah. You know? So he has, like, a fight with Von Strucker. And we see him get shot. But we learn that it's his, like, android his doppelganger. His
life model decoy.
Yeah.
The LMD.
It's not him. But you know what's really impressive about this life model decoy, LMD, is that, wow, they dressed him very precisely.
He had, and when they survived in this plane crash, we only saw them with some guns and maybe some duffel bags.
Yeah.
But no giant robot cyborg-esque character that looked exactly like Hasselhoff.
He's like the size of a male, like 6'4" human being.
Yeah.
And you carried him where? On your back?
Where did this come from?
Did he come from?
They never thought about this once to tell us that it can fold into your pocket and you can throw it down and it blows up real quick?
No.
Nothing.
No.
Nothing that helps us all.
Reducible in size for easy transport.
But that's how she's tricked. He's just sitting there. And by the way, he's lounging out. And he's sitting on the thing like, hey, honey, I'm not dead.
And all that time, he was just sitting there, you know, mean mugging. He could have killed her.
And don't they, when he finally contacts the base, don't they say, we thought you were dead? And he says, I got better?
He said, I was doing bad for a moment
there. Oh, no, I did. I did die. But I got better.
Yeah, he got better.
And I'm like, what? I'm like, what is happening? What is these lines?
It's terrible. I mean, every line is terrible. Every single syllable in this whole movie is just dreadful.
It's dreadful. And she is able to, at the same time, stop that guy. The brother with the bomb.
Oh, yeah, she shoots him.
But the problem is, she shoots him, and we were laughing because she says something along... She shoots him in the head, right?
Yeah, Lisa Rinna shoots him in the head.
And then she says something along the lines of, doctor, call the head surgeon. And I was like...
Call the head surgeon. Prepare the OR.
Call the head surgeon. He's incapacitated.
The patient is under anesthetic.
No, something like that. And I was like, wait, was that supposed to be a joke that she shot him in the head? That's a long joke.
What the hell is this?
It was like a long to get around to it. We're like, what?
If it was meant to sound badass, it was a freaking hot mess.
It was a hot mess. So, yeah. So now here's the weirdest thing. They are able to... The problem is the bomb is still going to shoot these missiles with the disease on it.
Over to Manhattan. Manhattan.
She's got like 4 missiles ready to shoot out. And they need a code. And of course, this is one of those last minute code moments, which, God, this is another thing I wish you needed to go away.
Seconds until detonation.
So they make the girl with the powers touch her head, and she's supposed to get all the numbers. And she can't even do that right because the last number... Mm-hmm. They get confused between a 6 and a 9.
Yep.
And I love that when he says, go with her gut, which is 9. And then he looks over at Von Strucker and she's like, giddy that they're going to lose.
Right.
And then he's like, wait a minute, it's a 6. She's giddy. So they put a 6 in and they saved the day. And I was thinking the whole time, well, that girl that didn't, that almost killed the world by saying nine.
Mm-hmm.
There was no win for her. She feels like she's got to feel like a loser.
Yeah.
Like they were don't go with what she thinks. Her gut sucks.
I mean, despite what like Spock would say, you know, it's not an exact science.
Yeah.
The whole mind melding thing.
She was like, go, I think it's a nine. And then she goes, oh, wait, it's a nine. Oh, wait a minute. I think it's a nine. And they're like, oh.
And meanwhile, we have 0.2 seconds until it's, you know, it's going to be detonated.
So we won it, Joe. Everybody's been taken down. Everybody's back at the Von Strucker's handcuffed behind her back. Hasselhoff's like goes up and sees her father in the ice thing. And he says, oh, I have to read this, Joe, because I just saw this on here. We have to say this line of dialogue. If I don't remember it, I'm going to be mad at myself. Nick Fury grabs her and says, you know, he's looking at her father behind the glass, the ice case. And he says, you know, he's a bit uglier than I remember. You're frozen popsicle. Get it, Andrea? Popsicle?
I can't.
And then he says, when she doesn't answer, he says, you know, that's the problem with you and your Third Reich. No sense of humor. Too bad he didn't make a good humor joke, because that would have been a popsicle. And then he could have said, what's the matter? You don't have a good humor? You get it? Good humor?
Oh, my
popsicle.
God.
Popsicle? Get it? Oh, he could have kept going. You know, there's nothing better than a badass trying to explain his own jokes.
You know, he's even uglier than I remember. You're frozen popsicle. Get it, Andrea? Popsicle? You know, that's the problem with the Third Reich. No sense of humor.
Oh, that's terrible.
I mean, well, it's just so bad.
Here's the craziest part, though. She gets away. There's like 100 S.H.I.E.L.D. agents in this place. They all landed there. They broke through the glass. They're all taking over the base. And she gets up, somehow jumps into her father's ice chamber thing. And she's laughing. And she shoots into the ground. And he shoots the door open and gets inside of it and looks down. And it's only been 1 second. Then they went underground.
He says she's halfway to China by
she's
now.
She's halfway to China by now. I was like, what? What was it, a hamster ball cage? Was it like one of those things at the bank? What was this?
Oh my God.
Can someone explain? Please explain what just happened.
I don't know what the heck she built here or how she even built it, but there's like a chamber, like one of those tubes that suck up your
bank.
Yeah, your thing at the bank, like your deposit at the bank. And I'm like, why is this here? Was this to, like, in case she needed to make, like, a great escape?
Yeah, just in case, save my father.
Where's her father going to end up, though? Where are they going to end up?
I just want to see a funny video of them going, wee, all the way to China.
He's frozen.
Who set up a tube system underground that far?
Right. Like, where are they going?
Yeah. And so, why wouldn't they just follow it?
And then we see them at the end.
And how fast would they have been going to get to China?
Oh my God, it must be ludicrous speed.
Unless he's just saying China as a joke, but still.
He's saying China as a joke, but
they can't get that far. All they have to do is get in the tube and follow it.
Well, I don't know where they ended up, but it looked like sort of like a dungeon somewhere. But he's alive, the father.
Yeah, and they have a really creepy relationship because they show that he's thawed out and he's still like rotten looking, but she's like snuggling up to him.
Okay, this kind of made me like squirm a bit.
Yeah, it was weird.
Because I was like, she's touching his face all sexual. And
yeah, it's weird.
It was weird. Like, she had like a sexy face on when she was talking to him. I don't know. I didn't like it. It was off-putting. But then you see the two of them walking away and making a joke and laughing. And that's how it ends. That's how it ends. Like, we're supposed to get another episode.
Well, it ends basically with Nick Fury punching out that guy, which we knew was going to happen, because he wanted to bomb the bomb in New York. And they were like, that would kill so many people.
Yeah, there's a virus in there.
And so when he gets back, he punches him in the face. He is cured from the disease because of the girl. They got her DNA. I guess it was linked to her DNA, apparently. So that's why she would have survived the the
yeah, she the had the antidote.
Yeah, so she was the antidote.
She was the antidote.
And then he goes outside, and the him and the girl,
Lisa Rinna,
they basically get back together. That's the whole scene that they like. He's like, you know, maybe I made some mistakes. And she's like, I think that's an apology. And he's like, it sure is.
Finn.
Nick Fury, the movie.
I have no words for this.
This was...
Even though I had plenty of words for it, everybody in this movie sucked.
This was a hot, steaming pile of garbage.
I think this might be right up there with Annihilation. I'm telling you.
This one is...
This is bad. This is like, it didn't know what it wanted to be, and if it was going to be like a TV show or a movie or whatever. It was just so all over the place. It was just so, you know, chaotic. It was a chaotic mess. There was no good acting in this. David Hasselhoff you got to be selective about what you give David Hasselhoff. You know, you can't just give him movies like this. You can't give him characters, iconic characters like this. He will not do a good job.
Well, here's the thing I'm mad about now, Joe. He was put into Guardians 2 as a joke.
Yeah.
And as playing himself, I guess. Mm-hmm. But that means we can never get him in the Universal crossover event where he plays Nick Fury again.
Oh, dang.
I mean, we're all going to miss out. We're never going to hear things like Popsicle again. I mean, I'm upset.
I am not. I'm fine. I'm fine with that. I think this is a terrible disaster. It was a terrible disaster, yeah, this movie.
It's funny. We watched, last time we did comic book movies, we watched like the Captain America movies, that those other, I guess they were supposed to be pilots too. They're like opening for pilots for a TV show. Mm-hmm. They did two of those things, and we thought they were pretty bad too. But they look way better in hindsight to what this is.
I mean, I'm trying to find something that's redeeming about this movie.
When you see this movie and you're thinking about this movie, are you not thinking about how good that Doctor Strange movie we did on the show was?
Oh my God. Yeah.
It makes it look even better, right? That movie rocks.
That was like Oscar worthy compared to this.
The fact that the Doctor Strange show never happened after that awesome movie is mind blowing, because that movie was like, that show would have been an incredible week to week. But instead, they tried something like this in the 90s. And that is, it's so upsetting to me. I cannot believe something this bad was put into production. I $6 million on this thing, I would be upset.
Oh, I would, yeah, be pissed. I mean, I think most of the money went to him because he was the big get at the time.
Yeah, but I guess.
It's disturbing.
I can't imagine him getting paid a lot of money. If he was, I'll be very shocked.
I mean, I think he was paid a lot. I really do.
All right, so what are we giving this movie?
Oh God, I mean, I just can't. I feel like this isn't even, it's just not even passable. It's trash. Like, I don't know what these people were thinking. No one can deliver a line. Not one person. The only one that actually had any acting ability in this movie was Lisa Rinna. She could at least deliver a line without stumbling. You know? The other ones they were jokey. It's like a farce.
Yeah.
I'm going with a two.
A two. It has to be a two.
The two.
So that means it goes on our list.
Yeah.
So, would you agree that this is now our number two?
Yeah.
Because number two right now is Sasquatch Hunters.
Ah, this is worse than Sasquatch Hunters.
Yeah, this is where I'm looking at the whole list, and I'm like, I like all of these movies way better.
Yeah.
Our top 10 right now, except number one. I guess I have to ask you this question, because Star Wars Holiday Specials are number one.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be able to watch that again over this?
No.
Mm-mm. You would watch this again?
Yes, I would.
So, yeah.
Okay. As bad as this is.
I thought for a minute that we might be replacing our number one.
No.
Mm-mm. I think here's the reason that this is our number one and this isn't a one-star movie is because it's very short.
It's short, yeah.
And it's also easier to sit through.
Yeah.
It's boring as shit.
I mean, it is, but like at some point when the when the Von Strucker lady was talking, I couldn't help but like hold my face in like complete shock and terror. So I mean, that's something when a movie has me feeling that way. The Star Wars holiday special just had me feeling complete dread about everything.
Yeah, and it's very long.
Yeah.
It's got every problem.
Every problem, yeah.
There's a part of me that wants to watch that over this, but I can see what you're saying. I'm going to go with, this is our number two movie on our list, which is kind of shocking. Well, maybe one day holiday special we beat, who knows?
Yeah, no, I don't know. I really don't think so, but we're going to keep looking. But that brings us to our segment of why we can't have nice things, where
I gave you four options.
I read two extremes of online reviews, a 1 10-star and a 1 1-star review, as proof that people do not know how to rate movies and they ruin it for everybody. So this one actually pissed me off, so I'm going to read it first, get it out of the way. It's a 10 out of 10. Absolutely phenomenal movie. I couldn't agree more with the reviewer who compared the film version of Fury with Snake Plissken. This is a dead-on description of the only great David Hasselhoff performance to date. This is one of only a handful of made-for-TV Marvel movies that is truly watchable. I've seen it over a dozen times and it keeps getting better. This isn't Shakespeare after all. It's a comic book movie. It's not supposed to be taken seriously.
Yep, yep, yep.
Well, you can blow it out your ass, okay?
I hate the comic book movies aren't real movies type conversation.
I hate when people say that. And you know what? You're giving this a 10 out of 10, which means that it's a perfect movie. You just basically said it wasn't a perfect movie, but you're giving it a 10.
That's funny.
Just not how you fucking review movies.
I love that he watches it over and over. I have to take this with a grain of salt. Like, I don't even believe that person's being truthful. Like, I feel like it's got to be a joke. I can't tell half the time.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just that one made me mad. So I'm like, people who say comic book movies, you know, just I can't. Anyway, the 1 out of 10, it is a 1 because I can't give it a lower rating. This is a steaming pile of poo. David H. gives us a typical wooden performance. I take that back. It is not a steaming pile of poo. Piles of poo at least feed flies. What utter crap. The only thing you want at the end of this gobbler is 2 hours of your life back. After 20 minutes, I wanted to claw out my eyes. After an hour, I thought it couldn't get any worse. After 90 minutes, crap. I was wrong. It got worse. Bleh.
What did he say? What did he call it? He had a word for it.
A steamy pile of poo.
No, he said something else. Oh, anyways.
I can't, a gobbler?
A gobbler. This gobbler?
The gobbler. Yeah. Okay. Well, some of that I do agree with, but I'm going to say it's not a 1. It's not a 1.
It's not. I'm having a hard time thinking about what's decent about it, but if they would have shot, maybe made this one, like maybe a 50-minute episode of a TV show, like condensed it, then maybe it would have been something there. Yeah. But the fact that they tried to make this into one movie without not doing, like with not, no fight sequences, nothing.
There's nothing.
It's baffling. Like, I can't imagine they were like, $6 million, let's not do anything.
This is based on a comic book with no action at all. Little to no action. Very little.
So wild.
I don't ever want to watch any more Hasselhoff movies. Fuck him.
Dude, by the way, I was going to ask you, because that guy said the best performance to date. And that's ridiculous, right? I mean, like, we grew up on Knight Rider. I loved it when I was a kid.
Well, yes, because, you know, it was in 1980s. He had the hair. He had the car. He had the wardrobe. He was cool.
Yeah, he was cool.
He was cool. But I just can't. Not anymore. I mean, I wonder if we watch Knight Rider now, how it would hold up for us. You know, now that we're adults.
I
always
wonder about this. Yeah, going back to the thing that you used to like as a kid, I'm sure, well, we learned that during the He-Man Christmas special. That we're like, oh my God. What were we watching when we were kids?
I know. I really would like to revisit a couple episodes of Knight Rider. And go back to that and see, like, okay.
We might have to.
As kids, we love this shit because he was so cool, you know? Michael Knight, like, everybody wanted to be like him. He's so cool with his collar open and stuff. And, like, in that leather jacket and that cool car that talks. But, like, honestly, after Hoff grew past Kit, I don't know, man. I mean, Baywatch was a thing, and I don't get it because I never watched Baywatch.
Yeah, I never watched it, so I don't know.
But there was some hot girls on there, some hot dudes.
You know what I liked? I liked when Hoff did that Kung Fury song. Do you remember that?
No.
And didn't he also do a song for Guardians?
Oh, did he?
Yeah, I thought he did.
I forget.
And I feel like that was great, too. Because him embracing the cheese.
Yeah.
And I like that. I respect that of him. I remember when he showed up in, like, the SpongeBob movie, and he was swimming like a dolphin. And I was like, I think that's fun. I love when he knows it's funny.
Yeah. But, I think he can poke fun at himself. He was in Sharknado.
Yes, exactly.
You know, like, he did some silly things, but, you know, he's always showing up as himself.
I love when we put this on and you saw the Marvel opening logo that someone edited onto the beginning of this thing on YouTube.
Yeah.
And you were like, wait, what?
Yeah, I didn't.
There's a Marvel movie I haven't seen?
Yeah. They edited that into the movie.
Someone edited it on the whole Marvel logo with all the pictures of all Robert Downey Jr. and everybody. And your face were like, what?
Yeah.
What? Wait, what? What is this?
I mean, I'm looking at his resume right now, though, and it's not good. It's not a good situation. I mean, it's a bunch of crap. He played himself in a lot of these things, though, you know, so it's like he was just parodying himself.
Oh, yeah, he's there now, yeah.
Which, you know, whatever, that's fine, but I'm done. I'm done with this movie. That's it. We're done. That's it.
So, yeah, this was an odd one. We had to give this a chance, though. This was one I was like, I have to check it out. Mm-hmm. I have to know what it's going to be like.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'd be mad at myself.
Well, I'm glad you dug that out of who knows where. Because, I liked being surprised. And I really did good on the quiz.
You sure did. You knocked it out of the park. I didn't even have I didn't get you at all on anything. Yeah. I was hoping you thought it was fake, this movie.
You know, you put that in my head.
Well, during the movie, you kept saying...
It was too long to be fake.
Yeah. I think you kept saying during this movie, you kept going, I think I know what's happening here.
Yeah, it was clearly a TV show. They
Is that what you were talking about every time together. You said it?
That's what I was thinking. But anyway,
All right. So, thanks for listening, everybody. And as always, hit us up on Instagram at Just Another Movie Night and Joe at The Crafty Misfit. And, you know, give us thoughts on Hasselhoff, Nick Fury, Marvel movies in general, or give us themes or ideas or movies that you think are the worst movies ever made. If anything can beat Star Wars, the holiday special that we are actually willing to watch, I would love to hear it. So, hit us up on there. And until next time, have a good one. Bye.
I'm going to run a computer program on her template. Then as soon as we have the data together...
I may see you in hell for this.
We'll do lunch.
Too bad you will die.
Quiet a woman, Nicholas.
That's too high maintenance for me.